Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Everybody's blaming Boomer and I for Kodai Senga's injury because we had this guy call up yesterday. And he said he didn't want Sean Manaea coming back because the staff's been so good and they're rolling and they're in a good place. And if Manaea comes back and Montas comes back, then all of a sudden things are going to go off the rails. And I believe, and I heard CeeLo said he had the audio, I believe Boomer said, these things tend to work themselves out. Somebody's going to pull a hamstring.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. It happens all the time on every team, every season.
And by the way, don't blame us for that. We have just been observing this for so many years that it happens, especially with baseball players and hamstrings. So it's not our fault. It's the sport's fault. But I do think there's something to be said when it's like a lower body injury or soft tissue injury with a pitcher that you know will get better eventually, unless he like tore it off the bone, which I don't believe he did. But if you know it's going to get better eventually, it's a long season. You know, like saving some miles on his arm for games that matter late in the season when you're playing as well as you are right now and you've got such depth with two guys coming off the IL and the rest of the staff pitching well, you could do a glass half full situation. Not great that he got hurt, but it's not the worst thing in the world when it's a hamstring injury.
No, it is glass half full from the standpoint of you had pitching depth. This is why you've basically signed and got 8 starters for your team. Like I said, you can point to every baseball team in Major League Baseball. They go through this with their rotation every single year on every single team. Now, what sucks about Senga is he dealt with this last year, came back, and for whatever reason, they used him in odd ways in the postseason. In this case, and I know they said it's a strain, which is, I know, some sort of a tear, I'm with you. If this thing's not torn off the bone and this is, let's just say, 8 weeks. 8 weeks takes you into the middle of August. Work your way back. Be ready to pitch start of September. And then you will be full go for the start of the postseason when you pitch through September and you come back. It's not optimal. I'm not saying it's great. You don't want anybody to get hurt. But considering the fact that you do have Sean Manaea on the way back, you've got Montas at some point soon. They'll be fine. This team has figured it out. All we hear about is the pitching lab, the pitching lab, the pitching lab. Well, it keeps working. They keep tossing up zeros. In that game, I know you didn't see it because you were golfing. I'm sure you saw the highlights at this point, though.
Of course.
It got dicey late. Yep. It got very dicey late. In the past, that might be a game they wind up losing. Well, you know what? They figured it out. They won another game. They won another series, another sweep. They just continue to figure out ways to win, and this is a setback for sure. But, I'm not going nuts. Oh, it sucks. It sucks, but you move on.
Yeah, I did have that same thought of, in years past, you know, the negative mentality
and the teams we might have seen in years past. You know, you get a big injury, you blow the game, then all of a sudden the Frank the Tank lava comes out.
Yeah.
You know, with the here we go again,
this
mark
is the
this day down from here on, you know,
that's
but
right.
Of course they do win the game, and you've got two guys coming off the IL. And it's gotten to this point, I don't want to say that they're interchangeable, because obviously, you know, Kodai Senga has been the best from an ERA standpoint in baseball this entire year. So he's obviously been the best on the Mets staff. But I trust all of these guys
exactly.
at this point. Maybe, I mean, Tylor Megill a little less than some of the others. But, I mean, my goodness, every mm-hmm. single one of them gets the job done in the way that they need to, especially when the offense is doing what it has been doing for the most part. So he'll come back. This isn't a shoulder thing or an elbow thing or something that is more serious for a pitcher. I guess the only thing that could be a little bit concerning is the fact that Kodai Senga last year was like, I'm just not there yet.
Yeah.
I just don't feel right. And it felt like it extended and extended, even though the team was saying, well, you should be feeling okay. And he was saying, well, I'm not. So I just hope we don't have another situation like that. But this guy, you know, he's going to want to get back out there. He's going to want to pitch. And I'm with you, too. I don't want to go back and rehash everything that happened in the postseason, but I thought that was one of two mistakes that Carlos Mendoza made last year in the postseason. And when Stearns as well, organizational decisions of forcing Senga into starts he probably shouldn't have made, because he had really nothing going on all regular season last year.
Yeah, and such a low pitch number that they were going to give him. It made no sense. At least it didn't make any sense to me. And
yeah.
I think we all agree with that. You said something, though, that you kind of glanced over as you said it, but I think you're spot on. When you said just now, I don't want to say that they're all interchangeable. That's fair. The problem is they have been.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at this rotation last year and this year, they have brought guy. We've talked about Griffin Canning how many different ways this year. The guy's 6-2. He's got an ERA in the low threes, and he was the worst statistical starting pitcher in Major League Baseball last year.
Mm-hmm.
Clay Holmes was a closer turned starter who I think we expected to do well. I didn't expect him to be this good at this point. He's been great. Tylor Megill continues to be really good. Mania last year had a career. Now, Mania was good with the A's, so I don't want to make it seem like that's stunning. He's had a good career, but I don't think anybody expected that much from him last year, and look what he turned out to be. Gets the big contract. So while you kind of glanced over it and said you don't want it to be interchangeable or kind of refer to them as such, that's what they've been, and that's a credit to them and a credit to Jeremy Hefner and whatever the hell they're doing over there with their pitching.
Yeah, I mean, and I didn't think that Clay Holmes was going to be good, because I watched Clay Holmes in a Yankee uniform dominate at times as a closer, and I thought that it was going to translate to being a starter. I thought he was going to be good because the Mets identified him as a starter, went out there aggressively and signed him, and I said, okay, well, they saw something, and I trust them now. I mean, of all the teams that are out there making decisions, I think that specifically the Mets in selecting pitchers over the last 2 years and trusting David Stearns, Jeremy Hefner, and Carlos Mendoza is at the top of that list when it comes to confidence in
no
me.
No question.
I mean, it is wild. And I don't know if they could do this every single year, and there's going to be some years where guys that they identify are not going to be as good as what Griffin Canning has been or Severino and Mania last year and all of that. But, I mean, so far it's been remarkable, and the depth, too. I mean, this just goes to show you, though. I mean, it's something we've been talking about for years. Now, the Mets have not won a World Series, didn't even make it to the World Series last year. But, you know, the money spent on starting pitching for these guys that you're either hurt, pitch once every fifth day, you know, have ERAs, the high threes when you're paying them $40 million a year. I mean, that's something that Steve Cohen, along with the advisement of David Stearns, learned after the Verlander and Scherzer stuff. We can't pump money into these old-ass starters again. What we're going to do is we're going to bring guys in that we feel like have potential, that are on affordable short-term deals, or we're going to try to get prospects to come up and then have them on their entry-level contracts for all those years with the arbitration and everything else. Or we're going to try to sign someone very young that we think is a superstar in Yamamoto. But, I mean, it's clear the guys that they are looking for, and it has worked out like aces so far.
It's like the philosophy is get good starting pitching, make them better, as opposed to pay for what guys have done. Now, it's worked out with Max Fried and the Yankees so far. That guy has been worth every penny, because every night he goes out, aside from one start, I think he's got 9 wins, maybe 10 already on the season. It's June 13th. I mean, think about that. That's how good he's been throwing to a low ERA. That guy has been one of the best in baseball. But it is rare. I mean, Gerrit Cole has been great since he's been signed. But we can go down the list of starting pitchers that get top dollar that have not been good. The Mets, with what they've done with the pitching, I almost liken it to when you say, like, how long can it go for, you know, this recipe for success they've had. It's a couple of years now with what they've done. I almost liken it to the Tampa Rays. The Tampa Rays, every single year, have a weird roster, and they let good players go. And yet and again, I'm not saying they're winning World Series every year, but you know what they are? They're relevant every year, and they are in the mix or in the postseason every single season. Doesn't seem to make sense, but they have figured something out to get the best out of what they've got, and the Mets have done that with the pitching.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The focus is on the individual performers that we have seen here, whether it's Aaron Judge chasing a triple crown, we know what he's doing, or Pete Alonso chasing the Mets' all-time home run record, or possible MVP. And while the Mets have never had an MVP, it's just not something that me, as a sportsman, I'm more about the team. I'd rather talk about the team success and get behind that. I can't get into the individual accolades, even with it being, for Alonso's case, let's say, the Mets' all-time leader in home runs. It really doesn't do much for me.
This, to me, is a great this is a contradiction. It's funny. As I hear you say that, and I know how you feel about that because you've said it before, it doesn't add up to me knowing the other things that you love about the sport, whether it's baseball cards, whether it's this week in baseball,
the records,
collecting the stickers. Like, to me,
well, 62 means something to me.
Yeah, I got you. Listen, I will say, and I don't mean this is any shade, and you know, I've been on basically the top three MVP bandwagon for Pete, so this is not shade. I mean, it's not like it's Hank Aaron's home run record. It's, you know, it's not. Right. It's the Mets home run. And I don't mean that as a shot.
No, but it's...
It means something to the Met fans, and it means something to the Mets. But I don't know. I just think about when I was first introduced to baseball. Well, when I was first introduced to any sport, I didn't associate records like Wilt Chamberlain or Y.A. Tittle with football. But I remember very distinctly being very young, knowing about Joe DiMaggio's hit streak or Ted Williams hitting 400. I'm surprised the way you love baseball that these records really just, you don't get into them.
I'm sure that when the moment comes, and I want to have a little fun later on where we could kind of have our peep pool and see when he's going to hit it, against who, home or away, whatever, if you project forward to get to those 10 more home runs. But now, I was at a game. I remember the game that I was at with Evan, actually, where we were sitting together. I don't know if we went together, but we were sitting together at Citi Field where Gary Sheffield hit his 500th career home run. Maybe certain benchmarks like that are more impactful. And the fact that I can even remember that I was at that for an insignificant, like Gary Sheffield was an insignificant Met, but I remember the moment. Okay, so a 500th home run, maybe that could be something special. This home run record, it doesn't really mean a lot. And maybe it is because of the futility prior. Like, David Wright was not a home run hitter, and then his bad back took him out. Daryl Strawberry, if he were a lifelong Met,
yes,
he would have had should have hit 500
yes.
career home runs.
Yeah, so, there's almost an underachievement and disappointment when you think about Straw and Doc
right,
with the Mets.
Right, so
I
now
get it.
It's not minimizing what Pete is about to accomplish, because I do think Pete Alonso's legitimate, but he's still... I don't want to say in the infancy of his Mets career, but we're still early on. He's 30 years old. Like,
yeah.
he's still got years to go to tack onto that. The person who maybe chases Pete's record one day, assuming Pete stays here for 4 years, all right, maybe that'd be a bigger deal. I just personally can't get behind it. The MVP, a little different only because I've never seen it as a Mets fan. The Triple Crown for Judge. I don't know. Those are special individual accolades that are nice, and it's a nice, like R.A. Dickey winning a Cy Young. Or Reyes winning a batting title. To me, it's like, I don't really care about
Let me ask you this. Just back to Pete, to Pete. Would it feel different if he had just signed the 6 or 7 year deal? Is part of the steam that's taken out of this a little bit for you from a record perspective? You don't know if he's going to be here next year.
No, I think that... I would admit that it bothered me a year ago, thinking long-term, like, oh, Pete's going to get the home run record. He's not going to be here or whatever. Maybe that's a little part of it, but I think it's more about the, I hate to use the word futility that the Mets have had, but that's not
the second time, by the way, you used it.
I know, but it's not a special record. Like,
yeah, no, I hear you on
yes,
that.
It's their franchise record, so it's special to the Mets, but it's not like it's some great feat.
Yeah, but you got to start somewhere. Yeah, so think about this. So the reason why you were so, and not to put words in your mouth, but just remember the conversations you and I had. The reason Sal was so pumped up about, first of all, Cohen buying the team, but really the Soto acquisition, is that it raises the profile and obviously heightens the credentials and the aura of the Mets. Now, that's a slow step-by-step process. You can't buy your way there, but you can accelerate it, right, with the right moves and with money. And, you know, over time, when Pete goes by Strawberry and then, you know, let's say Pete gets a 3 or 4 year deal, I'm just throwing this out there. And let's say Pete finishes with 450 home runs as a Met, or maybe five if he stays healthy and he's here long enough. Well, now the records become more revered because they are more records of, like, benchmark significance.
Right. Yeah, that I could see, but that's projecting it forward. This particular record is not really doing much for me, nor would... Like, I'd rather... And you know I love Soto and predicted he was going to win the MVP, but I want the team's success. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about. I never got...
Well, you got both so far.
Well, now, yeah.
That's not like the Mets are languishing 11 games. Well, I could see if the Mets were sitting here in fourth place.
Well, as I said yesterday, and I think this is the bigger picture stuff, think about what we're talking about for the Mets, who have been in existence since 1962. Obviously, the Yankees are second to none when it comes to records and history. Like, you look up their all-time home run leaders, it's the all-time greats in the sport.
Yep.
So that's a totally different end of the spectrum when you compare it to what the Mets have had. And I'm not trying to minimize what has been my favorite franchise, obviously, in Major League Baseball with the Mets. But really now we're witnessing the beginning of what we expect to be a legitimate top-tier, upper-echelon franchise. Lindor, Soto, Alonso, arguably when all said and done, I think are going to be the three greatest position players that the franchise has ever seen all together at once. Now, maybe 5, 10 years down the road, they start to build some records that
in 15, 20, 30 years down the road, some people will be chasing. That makes it more special. But right now, it's kind of like, oh, yeah. Well, Piazza was a Dodger.
Yeah.
Wright got hurt.
Yeah.
Strawberry.
Reyes left.
Reyes left.
Doc left. You know, Darryl
there were
left.
So many lean years. I don't know if it's because I'm a Met fan or just because the records aren't that special or just because it's me not caring about the individual records as opposed to the team success.
I understand that. So to me, you know, you mentioned the Yankees records and that, and I remember when Mattingly hit the home run consecutive games, Dale Long did that, right? I remember actually hearing one of the calls in my car. My dad was young. My dad was driving. I guess we were on the Gowanus. We were going to my grandma's house, and I actually heard Mattingly. It was the one in Texas that just went over the left field wall over Pete Incaviglia's head. If you're old enough and you know the visual, you know what I'm saying. If not, go YouTube it, right? So I love anything with the Yankees. But I also remember, you know, really vividly following and really caring about George Brett's pursuit of 400 in 1980. I was seven. I had just fallen in love with the game. So while I'm a Yankee guy, you're a Met guy, we're baseball guys, I still find baseball's records, even independent of the locals, and the pursuit of those records, fascinating. Well, I love them.
I don't disagree with that. I'll give an example. The record I care about most this year, I want to see Judge get 400. Hitting 400 to me is not just an individual thing or a team, team record.
Yeah.
Somebody that hit 400 is a major deal.
He's not hitting 400.
I'm just saying like that, but that's something that I like the chase for 400.
Okay.
Right, like you were talking about with Brett, or we remember it years ago.
I remember
those.
Yeah, 1980, I remember
it. Okay, so you're going
this
back.
This week in baseball,
even the Mattingly thing, like hitting home runs in consecutive games, hitting four home runs in a game, like those things are special to me because it involves the entirety of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a franchise record
for a team that has not been.
Or a batting title for Reyes, who's my guy. I love Reyes, but like a batting title for Reyes in a year where the Mets were useless as a team, or a Cy Young in a year where a team is useless. Like that doesn't, it just doesn't, without the team success behind it, it means less. And Pete's record is not about this year. It's more about a culmination of two things. His home run prowess, and the lack of power from the Mets franchise.
You need a championship is the bottom line. That's what you need. You need a championship.
Or sustained success. I'm happy with where everything's at.
I know you are.
I just don't. I feel like too big a deal is being made of this.
Well, I think it's going to be. By the way, I hope it happens in Queens for Pete. And I hope it happens in Queens for the Met fan. I mean, if not, you can't control whatever. But I think that trot around the bases, I think it's going to be, I'm not trying to make it more than it is. I mean, it's not home run number 500.
That's what I mean.
But I get it, but Darryl is a New York baseball icon. It really is. And for Pete to, you know, feel that adulation, and maybe because it was such a complicated journey, like to this point, there was a real chance Pete Alonso, hits the home run with Toronto this year, or goes somewhere else. I just think it's, it hasn't been linear with Pete. It started at an incredibly high level, breaking Judge's rookie home run record. And then it was really good the first couple of years. And then it took this vicious downturn. The batting average, the fans, you know, hey, maybe we don't need him. Maybe he's not that good of a fielder. Maybe he's not going to age very well. Things that I stand by. But that has been almost paused for now. And I think it's awesome. I'm just happy for the guy.
Yeah, and maybe when it, you know, when we get closer to it and starts to become a reality, I'm sure I'll be happy for him and excited for it, but it just doesn't mean as much. Maybe a part of it is because look at the player that Piazza was, even though he did the majority of that, you know, a lot of the damage with the Dodgers.
For
look
sure.
The player that Straw was at his peak. David Wright is his peak. I don't think Alonso has been there yet consistently enough. We were talking about.
Man.
Yeah, I mean,
I hear
that
you.
Is part of it.
I don't know what you want me to tell. I'm trying to get you there, buddy.
No, I know.
You know,
I'm more into the like. Are you? Do you care about the Triple Crown for Aaron Judge?
Of course. Yeah. Now it doesn't supersede the success of the Yankees.
Right.
No, to me, it's always team oriented stuff first.
Right.
For sure.
But at least.
But if you get both, then you might this year.
But at least that's the Triple Crown.
I got.
400 is 400.
I'm not sitting here trying
62 is 62.
I'm not trying to connect Pete Rose. I mean, Pete Alonso passing Darryl and equivocating it to, you know, Ted Williams or. Or Triple Crown. I got you. But I think it's cool. I just love records. And I'll tell you, the other records in sports, like, you know, you see things in golf, you like, you know, all this. Even last year, you know, I love Dante DiVincenzo. Dante DiVincenzo, the single season Nick 3-point mark. All right.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it, but I mean, yeah, I'm going to give you a golf clap because
I like when Starks did it. I don't know about DiVincenzo.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. The volume, so many things have changed in sports. Touchdown passes, rushing yards, sacks, whatever it might be. There has been a watered down, to me, basically desensitized nature to the accumulation of records. The volume of doing things now is out of whack. And I still think one of the sacred things in sports is going yard. It's still freaking hard to hit a home run. So I enjoy the home run records more than the other nonsense, which to me doesn't mean a whole lot at this point.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Larry is in Westchester joining the conversation. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Sal, BT. How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
What's happening, buddy?
Good. Two things I want to get to. First of all, with Alonzo, yeah, I'm an old guy, you know, 68, old-time Mets fan. The record is nice, but I still think winning succeeds everything.
Sure.
It's not how many home runs you hit. Yeah. It's the team success.
Well Larry, Larry, I'm sorry. I want you to make your next point here, but this because you said that you're 68, so you've seen a lot of baseball. You've seen all the Mets baseball. You could very easily be in a Dave Kingman situation now, where Kingman's launching 40-something home runs, and the Mets are going to win 68 games. So while you guys want to win, and that should always be the mark, I mean, right now you've got a chance to do both. Honor a guy who's carved out a nice niche in the franchise, but also win some games and maybe win a championship.
Yeah, and I know that, like, I'm not trying to make it one or the other. Obviously, everybody's going to say team success. I'm just saying for me as a fan, personally, Sal, as a fan, I don't really get into the individual. I'm giving you examples where the Mets have had success before. Now, DeGrom was a little different because of his dominance,
mm-hmm.
and he did it consistently, the back-to-back Cy Youngs.
Yep.
A little different, but even then, I was like, eh. I was more frustrated with that because he didn't
run support.
I wanted him to pitch game one of the postseason. I'm more aggravated with the Mets for wasting what was the best pitcher that I ever saw for 2 years, not having him pitch. Like, it is criminal that Jacob DeGrom at his peak with the Mets did not pitch game one of a postseason series. Jose Reyes batting titles, R.A. Dickey Cy Young. Yeah, that's fun. Mm. But, like I want it to be, you know, combined with the team success. And Pete is not about just a season or an incredible season, which, by the way, he may have. The MVP means a lot more to me than the home run record.
Yeah, as it should. As it
never happened before. If he or Lindor could win an MVP, now do I really, am I, you know, go out and buy T-shirts and, oh, MVP? No, I'm not going to. I just don't get into
might.
That.
Well, he's all about the MVP. Hashtag.
And some fans would be. Yeah. I'd like to have the Mets, you know, win an MVP. I think that would be a nice box to check.
Uh-huh.
But it does not mean as much to me without the team's success. Jason is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Jason?
What up, Jay?
Hey, boys. Good morning. Sal, I'm totally with you. I think it's awesome, and I love Pete, and I'm getting a real high this year off of him carrying the team and being just super consistent, not going after crappy pitches. He's just playing smarter, and it's so much fun. But the home run record's nice, but it reminds me of when Santana got the no-hitter, and every Mets fan was taking their shirt off and running the street. Ah, they got a no-hitter. Who cares? And then it cost him his career, and he was never the same pitcher again because they had to go off that stupid thing. It's like, you know, I know the home run record is a little more significant because, BT, I totally agree with you. The home run has not been watered down. If anything, it's been purified after all the steroid crap.
Mm.
So I think it's great, but obviously team success. But I'm just more happy to see Pete just playing a full game. His game is, like, so well-rounded this year. It's great.
He looks, thanks, fellas. Yeah, thank you, JC. Looks happier. He's having more fun. That's the more important thing. Not chasing down a franchise record that, when you compare it to others, is not really that great. I will say the no-hitter to me was different. As a fan, I always wanted to go to the game that the Mets threw a no-hitter. Like, that was a big deal. They didn't have a no-hitter. I saw the Yankees throw endless no-hitters in my prime as a fan.
Sure.
I wanted the Mets to get a no-hitter. I wasn't at that Johan no-hitter, but that was a big deal. And even now it's looked at as less than because it's, you know, fair ball, foul ball by Beltran, but still the no-hitter was a little bit different. That, to me, was a bigger accomplishment even than the home run record.
It was a good one-hitter. He was good. Yeah. No, I mean, listen, here's the beautiful thing I think about the pursuit for Pete here. So, granted, it's not that massive historical benchmark, but if you love Pete Alonso, and there's a legion, an army of young fans, because younger fans don't fixate on the flaws as much as we do. Like, we sit here and we talk about, is he worth 7 or 8 years, 6 years? What's the market going to be? Well, he's 30, he's right-handed, he plays first base, he's a righty batter, blah, blah, blah. Batting average going backwards before this year. When you're 8, 9, 10 years old, you don't focus on that.
Right.
I didn't focus on that as much. So I think what this is doing is probably reinforcing the fact that Pete's going to be here longer than we thought. And to me, so it's less about the record, because again, it is, no disrespect, but it's a nominal achievement compared to some of the all-time great marks. But the better Pete plays and the more home runs he hits, the more likely it is that Pete's going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
And that's got to be a good thing for the Met fan.
Yeah, the Met fan wanted him off of 2 down years, so they're certainly going to want him to remain here. And by the way, I've come around to that. I don't know how you can move on from Pete, especially now when you take out Vlad as an option. Like, yeah. What are the other options?
Yeah.
We could have that conversation.
But I think it ties in. Yeah. For me, it's I don't know if there's a direct correlation.
Right, because if he broke it and bounced.
Correct.
That would really.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that would bother me. All right, when we come back, I asked Hoff during that segment there to look up the all-time home run leaders for each franchise.
Oh, I love it. We're getting nerdy today.
Well, I want to see where, not just all the numbers, but where the Mets, because initial thought, you would think, like, the Mets record, what is it, 250?
I'll guess. I won't even look at it. I'll guess coming up. So basically what you're saying is, the Mets home run record in relation to all the other teams in baseball, I'll guess. I'm not going to look at all.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Now, for the first time since he made the decision, coming to the Mets, the Yankee fan is starting to get bothered because Soto is getting hot.
Yeah, you believe that. You actually do believe that.
Oh,
I know you believe that.
Oh, yes, I do.
I got to tell you, man. Well, I don't care. Now, I still hope that he, you know, that he has a rough season. I'm on the record with that. Right. I want to see the Mets do well, and the more home runs he hits, and the more he gets on base, and the more he starts to shuffle, and the more he begins to look like Juan Soto, the less I like it. I'm upfront with that. I am absolutely petty about that. He left the Yankees, and while I'm okay with it, that doesn't mean that I hope he has a great season. So far, he has not. He's picking up. He's a great hitter. He's going to eventually find his way. Here we are finding his way. We're at a very interesting path now because the Knicks have diverted us and distracted us for a while. And now we jump into, now the Knicks haven't hired their coach yet, so that's still a story. But now we jump into the pool and the Met fans feeling great. Yankee fans feeling great. I could be wildly off base with this because I don't jump into the pettiness as much as others. I don't really care about, I don't bear the cross. I don't carry this weight, this burden. I don't really think about Juan Soto except when I watch him. I don't know about others. I really don't care as much as you think that I do.
But there's even a love. Now, by the way, I think it's the right feeling to be bothered. I'm not saying that that's wrong. I think Yankee fans should be bothered, and I believe that they are, but even to the extent.
But bothered because he left them or bothered because they miss him? Because right now,
both.
They don't really miss him right now. They might miss him in October. Yanks don't miss him now at all. Yeah. Yanks have the best OPS in baseball.
Right.
It's a fact. They don't miss him right now. So he wants about like the wound is open. Yeah. That's one aspect. Baseball, I don't miss him.
Why? Because they beat the Royals?
Whoa, I mean, you guys just beat the Rockies. You come in, you start playing the King Cohen music the other day beat the Rockies. The
Yankees look like world beaters against the Royals. Look, here's the thing. You admitted to being... Now, some, I think, are on another level. Go out there and boo Juan Soto when he returned to Yankee Stadium, all that stuff. Oh, he stinks. The contract's going to be bad. We didn't want him. I call BS on that. I know that the Yankee fan is crushed that a player of Juan Soto's magnitude who carried them to the postseason a year ago, was their best player in the postseason a year ago, chose the New York Mets over the Yankees. And now you've seen the Mets have team success. Now you're starting to see Soto have some success. So when before it was easy for the Yankee fan to pile on and be like, oh, he's awful. Look at this. He's not even the best 22 in town, blah, 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 blah. Now, with Soto shuffling, with Soto being happy, with Soto hammering the baseball, with Soto having the results, now I do think it's going to start to get back to the level where it's going to annoy the Yankee fans. To what extent? Some may be more bothered than you, but I know that they're checking the box scores. I know they're seeing the highlights, and the more and more Soto starts to get those numbers back up, the more it's going to bother the Yankee fan and create that rivalry even more so with the Mets and Yankees.
I'm not saying that the rivalry doesn't get ratcheted up. I think the next Subway Series is going to be, it's going to almost feel like October because, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm sure he's going to have a 1-for-12 or so before then. But Juan Soto's going to roll in, maybe not. Juan Soto's going to roll into that series feeling a whole hell of a lot more like Juan Soto, going through the baggage and the burden and the circumstances of going back to Yankee Stadium. That was a lot.
Right.
That was a lot. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. We attributed his slow start to him, like, missing the Yankees. Some of us did. Missing the Yankees, whatever. Did he make the right decision? Quite frankly, he may have just been in his own mind, not even knowing this, like, almost lamenting having to go back there for a couple of games, but not even missing them.
Mm-hmm.
But like it was in his mind that it was an obstacle and it prevented him from being free and being the hitter that he is.
Right.
Now he went back, it's over, crossed the bridge, and Juan Soto's back to being Juan Soto. But let's also not get this twisted. The Yankees right now, the New York Yankees, have the best run differential in baseball.
Yep.
They've got the highest team OPS. They've got the projected MVP. They've got the projected Cy Young Award winner in Max Fried. And the other thing, which I was more okay with Soto leaving than some, almost every other variable that was going to be important in their success this year has worked out well. Goldschmidt, check.
Mm-hmm.
Dominguez, more from the left side, check. Like, they've done Volpe's growth. Check. He's got fifth most doubles. I'm not saying that there's... I'll give you this. We got to always keep it real on the show.
Yeah.
There's always going to be a little piece of me that's bothered by the fact that he chose the Mets. I can say that freely, but Juan Soto does not consume my thoughts. Juan Soto is not providing any interference with my enjoyment of what's turning out to be a pretty awesome season so far. The other people, I can't speak for them. Me, have fun being a Met. You're in Queens. We good in the Bronx.
Right.
We okay.
Then I think everybody's on the same page.
There we go.
Because Yankee fans are happy with their plan B. And I'm happy with Juan Soto. I don't think Met fans can be happier. So if Yankee fans are happy with their team. And
how could they not be?
Well, because I don't believe that what they have is as legit as Juan Soto. Like, you could talk about all the numbers and the plan B and all these different. I saw Max Fried against the Dodgers. How'd that go?
I mean, oh, come on. It's one start, dude. But I mean, the guy's going to win a Cy Young.
That's all it takes in the postseason is one start.
I understand that, but I mean, but geez, Pettit got rocked a few times.
I'm not talking about regular season anymore. I'm talking about World Series. The Mets are now on a point where it should be about the World Series. It's World Series.
Yeah, welcome to the club. It's about time you guys got to that point. We're always there.
And
welcome. It feels good.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, come
great.
On in.
It feels
just
great.
Just don't get too close. Come on in.
This feels great. I'm happy to be here. And I'm happy to be led by Juan Soto.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't truly believe. I think Yankee fans had to accept Plan B and then talk themselves into, well, this is going to be good. And then because of the results so far, it's easy to say, well, look at this. We're better off without Soto. I don't believe that that's the case. I believe there will become a point where they're going to miss Soto. I believe that the majority of Yankee fans, yourself included, admitted checking the box score, watching the games, whatever.
Well, I'm also doing it for my job. I watch the best no matter what. But if I wasn't,
from a fan perspective.
Yeah, that's different.
You want to see him fail.
Yeah.
Just like from a fan perspective, I am on record saying that I cared more about Juan Soto's success early on than I did the team's success. I wanted to see Soto go nuts.
Yeah.
And I believe that there's going to be some fireworks come 4th of July weekend when the Mets host the Yankees. But point is, good, we could all be happy then. Should be nothing to complain about. Mets fans aren't complaining about their team. Nobody's worried about that contract. All of a sudden, Juan Soto looks as happy as a pig and you know what to be a New York Met. Mets are playing like one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. And the Yankee fans, everybody's happy then, right?
Absolutely. And by the way, the Mets should be playing like one of the best teams. You certainly paid enough for the roster.
Yeah.
See, that's what can't get distorted here. This is what's going to be an interesting transition for you and for your brethren.
Yeah.
It's no longer, wow, look at these. Outside of the 86 Mets, almost every other elite Mets team was constructed, for the most part, of overachievers. Going back to 69, when it all, you got to believe it was 73. But, you know,
2006 was,
73 was the, you got to believe. But 69, the miracle Mets, nobody saw that coming. 73, you know, obviously lose to the A's, who were a dynasty at that point. And they didn't really have that star power. 86 laden with stars. But, and 2000 had some horses as well. And, you know, I love David Wright and Reyes. But generally, like, the Mets are overachieve when they do well. Little overachievement. Can you really buy it? Are they really one of those great teams? Do they really belong here? Well, now the measurement, no longer on the curve here, guys.
Right.
There's no more, I don't know if you do this when you play golf. When I play golf, if I hit my first shot in the woods on the first hole, I'm taking a breakfast ball. I don't care. If I fire one in the woods later on, I'm taking a mulligan. I don't care. There's no more mulligans with the Metsies. When you have that kind of money and you have that kind of attention and now you have the star power that you so desperately craved, welcome to the big boys club. We're comfortable here. Let's see if you guys
and
like
so
it.
So am I. I love it. I love this. And do you know why I love it even more than just your normal, well, the Mets spent a lot of money on their roster and they're having success? Because their biggest piece stings the Yankee fan. You can put up a front all you want. I see right through you guys. I know it hurts. Soto is coming. He's arrived. All right, BT and Sal, the fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire. Remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We'll get to the Knicks stuff coming up in a little bit later on. We want to start with some baseball today. Flavio is calling from Hawthorne, New Jersey. Good morning, Flavio. How are you, my friend?
Morning, guys. Way to start the show, but Sal, you're a little delusional if you're thinking Yankee fans are all upset about Soto doing well with the Mets. We've got the Cy Young winner.
Yeah.
We've got the MVP. We've got first place, and we cannot wait to meet the Mets in the World Series. We can shut it down once and for all.
Oh, Flavio, be careful what you wish for, my friend. You want no part of this Mets machine. Trust me.
It is happening. It is happening. Wait for the next series. Wait for the next Subway series. That's going to feel like That's going to feel like a World Series game. That's going to be foreshadowing the World Series of 2025, my friend.
I'll tell you, it almost seems, thanks for the call, like that's the only way it's going to get settled. I mean, really, if you think about this.
Regular season's not going to matter.
Yeah, I mean, it's enough. Fun. Well, it's always relevant for us because we love the sport. Both teams are really good. Both teams have a ton of stars. Like, but there's going to have to, at some point, when Juan Soto is still in his absolute prime, and there's a lot of years for him to do this, it must be settled in the World Series, where either the Mets win and he's a stud, or the Yankees win and, Plan you know, B he goes Dave Winfield, you know, hits $120 in the World Series, whatever it might be.
We'd love to see it get resolved head-to-head. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way if one of the teams gets there. Like, if the Yankees get there, it's going to be like, hey, we were there.
That's a fair point.
Or vice versa.
I'm saying that's the ultimate. Yes. Yeah, but like if the Mets get there and the Yankees don't, forget it. Now we just got to stick our head in the sands for a little bit. Yankee fans will still try to squawk about it. Not me. Right. I'll take the L and I'll move on like a man. And conversely, when the Yankees get there and if the Mets don't, well, now it's like, this is what we do. And, you know, like correct. I said, the crown's heavy.
Yeah, and then I would have to say, you know what? I was
of course,
wrong.
Yankees, and you would. I
Yankees
know you would.
Plan B was
it
better.
Hurt, though.
It would, I'll tell you. I take it. See, here's the difference. I'm weathered in taking the L's.
Yeah, you used to
I'm
it.
I'm used to being on the side that Yankee fans are now putting themselves on.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's why I love this. I can take the punches. I've taken plenty. I've been knocked out plenty of times before. My entire existence as a Met fan, I've been knocked down to the mat and try to get up and keep getting knocked down. Now I'm up. And I'm feeling like I just took my spinach like Popeye. I'm ready to go. I am ready. Now, Yankee fans are in a new spot. It's, oh, crap. This might be. You haven't felt it yet, but it could be the beginning of a change here, especially if they met head-to-head in the World Series.
It could be. Or it could be more pain than you've ever felt.
That is
with
true.
With all the pain you've already known, it could be worse.
BT and Sal, the fan Randy's in Brooklyn. What's up, Randy?
First of all, guys, I got a couple of things to say. Don't disconnect me till I'm finished.
Go
I
ahead.
Love you both. You guys are crying like a ninth grader in high school over the same boy. Soto did not choose the Mets. He chose the money.
That's what his mom did.
Now that the Mets got Uncle Stevie and he's got deep pockets, everybody wants to hit on the Mets for buying. Dodgers done it for years. Yankees done it for years. Why can't we just let the Mets be? Hopefully Soto plays. They're doing great without him. Now he's starting to come into his own, guys. But either way, you got to stop crying about it.
We're
it's
not
ridiculous.
Crying about
all
it.
The Yankees fans, Mets fans. Come on, guys. Well, it's the Mets. We haven't had anything for years. Now we finally got something to look forward to.
But who's crying about it? I'm confused as to what your point is. Are you done? Can we hang up on you now, Randy, or you got something else?
No, my point is that the two of you are crying. He chose the Mets. Soto chose the money. If the Yankees would have paid whatever...
Randy, the Mets gave him the money. I am a Met fan. I'm not crying about it. I'm crying tears of joy, for goodness sake. I don't understand what you're listening to. What do you think that you're hearing?
What I'm listening to is that he's got to produce. That's the bottom line. Lindor came here. He hasn't produced. He hasn't produced. Now he's finally starting to hit the last 2 weeks or so.
Yes.
But you know what?
And it's glorious, and thank you for the call. We're not both crying about it. As a matter of fact, even BT, from a Yankee fan perspective, has moved on. Plan B, he's enjoying every second of it.
Yanks are rolling. And by the way, you know, I talk about the projected MVP, projected Cy Young winner, also last year's reigning Rookie of the Year is coming back. Like, there's a lot. And by the way, there's a lot of good things with the Mets here. It's just, for me,
when I hear that, I know maybe you're not.
Go ahead.
I hear coping.
We
got the Rookie of the Year coming back. We got the Cy Young guy. We got this. We got hard hit rate, the OPS, the run differential.
The hard hit rate. Yes, the Yankees' barrel rate is so good that it has diminished the sting of Juan Soto leaving us. If the Yankees, here's where it would be copium. And then that's where the memes, which I was hit with when he left the Yankees, and they were funny. That's where they could reapply here. If the Yankees were in second or third place, and I'm sitting here saying, hey, you got Hill coming back, or somebody, say if Judge was off to a slow start, Judge will get it cooking, I don't really miss Soto. That would be, I think, projecting maybe unnecessary or just unrealistic confidence for them to stabilize it. Now, I know the Yankees aren't perfect. Like, I know the Mets aren't perfect. But baseball's not perfect. As a matter of fact, baseball in totality sucks right now. There's a lot of bad teams. So what the Yanks run out there and what the Mets run out there are good enough to get to a World Series, which is fun. Unlike others, I'm not preoccupied with the Mets. I follow them, I watch them, I respect them, and I hope to play them in the World Series and I hope to beat them again.
So the plan B for the first couple of months,
which I was always on board with. Right. You got to give me that.
Right.
I was always okay with plan B for the Yankees. Like, and that's
because they couldn't afford the right way. The right way would be to bring back Soto and go get Goldschmidt and a pitcher.
I do agree with that. You said that. You're right. But I was always interested in plan B because I thought there was a versatility and there was more defensive, better defenders. And just a little better on the bit more
pieces
athletic.
Fit
I thought it was a better
move. Judge to right.
Yes, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. So the point is, though, in the beginning, not only was Plan B working, Soto was struggling
for sure.
And then
and it was fun.
And then the reports were, well, he's not happy. He really wanted to be a Yankee. Now, like an arm wrestle, where Plan B was dominating the Soto move to the Mets. Now, the other arm wrestler in the equation is starting to come back up. Because all of a sudden, Soto's starting to look like Soto. And the Mets' plan is also working. So what's going to give? At some point, something will give. Either the Mets' plan with Soto was going to prevail, meaning winning a World Series, or the Yankees' plan B without Soto is going to be getting to a World Series again and winning a World Series. We will find out one way or another. But right now, it's back to being, hey, Mets fans couldn't be happier with the way things worked out, and I think Yankee fans are telling themselves they couldn't be happier with the way things are working out.
Well, to stick with the arm wrestling analogy here, it's, okay, so, yeah, it started like it looked like literally the Yankees were going to pin the Mets. I get it, like in third grade, you know, I understood, right? But while the Mets have now offered resistance in the form of Soto playing better, they're not capitalizing on a Yankee weakness. They've gotten back to the middle of the fight, if you will.
Correct.
Due to their strength, not any holes with the Yankees.
And that's fine.
Which is what makes it really interesting.
That's
both teams are good.
And it can be a realistic. We talk about this a lot, and I know it's fun to speculate and trash talk or whatever, but I don't know if you could have a more realistic line to a Subway Series. Now, again, crap happens in the postseason. Mm-hmm. There's so many variables there, but at least from my perspective, from a Mets perspective, I always kind of expect the Yankees to get there, especially with a weakened American League. But I felt that way, even with the Astros, I thought every year, like after 17, the Yanks will break through. They'll break through at some point. It didn't happen until last year, of course. I expect now the Mets to be there. Now, maybe that's a scary thing from a Mets fan perspective.
Danger. You should expect that.
Coming in the year, though, it wasn't the case. It was like, oh, let's see what happens. Roll the dice.
Pitching,
the postseason.
Yeah.
Look, Dodgers, Phillies, Braves. Now, I expect the Mets to be there.
It's all good.
I know you told me.
I know, but you don't listen.
I do. He just got done telling me I don't listen.
He's Tommy, a horrible listener.
Tommy knows.
I think I know. Fire?
Close.
Youth Warrior?
No.
Damn it. That's Juventud Guerrero.
Do you know? Juventud Guerrero?
That's what it's
Do you know, Evan?
Of course I know, Teak. It's insulting to even imply I wouldn't know, but why don't you tell the audience what it is?
Fiery-tempered king.
Yeah. Fiery-tempered king.
I was close. I was in the ball.
You were not that close.
I said fire. Would you say
close. Blah 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 blah? No, I said
he gave a non-answer.
I gave a non-answer. I avoided the question. Dan is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Dan?
Hey guys, how's it going today?
Yeah, so it's going well. Thank you.
Excellent. Speaking of Pacheco for Alonso at the trade deadline, as a long-term Mets fan, I'm concerned that if they're not looking to sign him, that might be a huge topic coming up. What do you guys think?
Not sign who coming up? I'm sorry.
Say that again.
I'm saying with the trade deadline coming up and Alonso not being signed by the Mets potentially next year, if that becomes a big target for them.
Trading Pete Alonso?
I do not want to see that.
They're not going to do that.
First of all, he is signed. He just has an opportunity to opt out.
Yeah. Well, why would they trade him? Because they know they're not going to re-sign him?
They know he's going to opt out, and then they don't want to re-sign. I get what he's saying. If Pete Alonso informs the Mets, or Boris informs the Mets at some point prior to the trade line, we're opting out, we want a bigger deal, longer-term, whatever, whatever the circumstances are, and the Mets say, well, thanks for informing us of that. You're going to opt out, but we're not going to re-sign you, so we're going to trade you.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Makes
no sense.
Only if you think you can get a haul back for him.
For what? You're trying to win a World Series.
To me, it makes no sense because he's integral to what you're doing
right now. Yeah, the Mets are trying to win right now. They didn't trade him last year.
Just paying him.
Well, you're better off just saying, have a monster year. Let's try to win a World Series. And at the end of the year, let's see what your market is. Yeah. Like, I'm still very skeptical, and this actually is the makings of a perfect day for a long-term prediction on Pete Alonso's next contract, which we did a year ago at this time. And I'm trying to remember what the results were. I think I won this one because I said, I think he's going to settle for a short-term deal. He's not having a good year.
Yes,
but I felt better about that because he wasn't having a good year.
Right.
I have no idea, and we could play the game because I'm being honest with you, I have no idea what Pete's going to get in free agency. And I don't think the Mets do either. And because of that, there's no reason to trade him. Like, you're going to play it out.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hope you win the World Series. And then the offseason is the offseason. And the other reason why you don't trade him is because, again, the Mets are trying to win a World Series. So they're going to add guys at the trade deadline. I just mentioned Jarren Duran as an option from Boston. Well, there's another center fielder that may be available. His name is Cedric Mullins, center fielder for the Orioles. He's a free agent at the end of the year. That's what you do when you're trying to win a World Series. You trade for guys sometimes that are free agents at the end of the season.
Right.
You try to win, and you worry about Cedric Mullins during the offseason if you even intending on keeping him. So just because a guy's a free agent at the end of the year doesn't mean you're going to trade him. But you know what? I want Tiki to go first now because I got to figure out how I want to go on this. Today is June 9th, 2025. Pete Alonso is hitting .301. He's on pace to drive in 150 runs. He will opt out.
Yep.
When he opts out, whether it's with the Mets or some other team, what will be the final parameters of Pete Alonso's new contract? Tiki Barber!
5 years, 180.
5 years, 180. Okay, let me put my calculator out.
It's like 30.
36.
36. Or
that's a good, you know what? That's a solid one. For bonus points, what team is giving him that contract?
The New York Mets.
The New York Mets. Okay. Sean Morash, long-term prediction. We'll obviously check the results when Pete signs. What will be Pete Alonso's contract in free agency and with which team?
I'm going to say he goes with the Mets 5 years as well with Tiki. Here's the deal with the money, though. If he's going to get the long-term security at his age, 5 years, going into age 31, 30 mil making this year, let's call it 26 mil a year. Give me 130, five for 130.
It's a pay cut.
But you got to realize he's getting 24 million next year on the deal. 30 this year. It was more of an upfront. Now I'm also paying him. You could choose to take a shorter term and I'll give you a higher, but I think he takes the long-term security, bringing that amount per year down.
Got it.
That's where my brain went.
Fun so far. Tommy Lugauer.
He's going to get, Pete Alonso's going to get a 7-year deal, 35 million a year. Which adds up to...
$245 million.
There you go.
7 years. And with which team?
The Mets.
Wow. Okay, so we're all universally thinking he's going to resign.
All right. I mean, what else? I just don't know who else would pay him that much money.
No, that's a great question. I think he will end up signing a 3-year, $105 million deal that will also feature opt-outs.
What?
That's my prediction, yeah. What do you mean, what?
But why would he do another opt-out deal?
I am very skeptical, unlike you guys, clearly with your predictions, that there's going to be a robust market for him, despite the year he's having. Like, I think there will be teams interested. I do not think a team's going to offer him a 5 or 6 year deal. And if no one does, the Mets aren't giving him that. The Mets aren't offering.
It's basically 2 years more, and he's just getting an upgrade.
The Mets don't have to offer what isn't out there. You see what I'm saying?
See. If the Cubs don't bring back Kyle Tucker, I think they're going to be very much in the mix.
They're bringing back Kyle Tucker.
Okay,
in my mind.
You could say that in your mind, but that's fine. And there's still a team out there on the West Coast that's begging to pay stars like the Angels or the Giants.
No, I totally get that. I'm disagreeing with you. And I think that this market this year was so quiet for him. And then next year, he's a year older. Right. He's coming off a great year, assuming this year keeps up.
But I'm
skeptical.
I think there's a little bit of a different angle here, and this probably shouldn't be delivered by Scott Boras. This should be delivered by whoever his PR wonk is. But Pete Alonso has a chance to go down iconically as a New York Met.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever milestones he's going to hit, home runs, or whatever it may be, are valuable to a franchise. And so I know this was more of a two-decade-ago argument that people would have about players' values, but I think it's a good one for Pete to lean into.
That he would be better off staying for that reason.
It would be better for him and for the Mets.
I 100% agree with you, but here's where I will disagree. I'll start with Tommy's prediction. If that offer's out there, it's not coming from the Mets. I'd be stunned if the Mets gave him 7 years, 245. I'd be stunned. And if someone gives it to him, which could happen, mm-hmm. I could be reading this market dead wrong. And I hope I'm not, because if someone gives him 7 years, 245, it ain't going to be the New York Mets. I'd be very surprised, despite the year he's having, if David Stearns and Steve Cohen give it.
What if he wins
like
the MVP?
I don't think they're giving him 7 years, 245, bro.
MVP, sorry. Prime of his career?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's the thing. He's trending towards an MVP right now.
He is. And like what I'm telling you is not something I want to have happen. I want him to be a Met forever. I mean, I think we all kind of agree with that. I'm just warning you that I don't think even an MVP season is going to change the fact that they're not going to give him a 7 year, 245 deal. I'm even skeptical they give him what you said, Teak, 5 years, 180. Mm-hmm. I'm skeptical of that. 5 years, 130, the money's low enough, but even the 5 years, that's why my prediction is kind of what I hope happens too, because I don't think the Mets are going to give him much more than that. 3 years, 105. But let's close the envelope. Let's save those predictions and come January 17th. Mm. That's a random one.
Yeah.
We'll find out if we're right or wrong.
Right after the Giants lose on Wild Card Weekend. Perfect.
Look at that. Brings everything back to the Giants, Teak. What'd I tell you?
He can't help himself.
He can't help himself.
Can we circle back to one thing real quick? Where did you get the Pacheco story from?
He was on the Mookie Betts podcast.
Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
And he said Juan Soto's middle name is Pacheco?
Yeah. And did I get that wrong?
Maybe you did. Maybe Pete did. Pacheco is his mom's maiden name. Jose is Juan's middle name.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Maybe I'd have to go back and listen to Pete.
According to Twitter,
wrong.
According to the internet, which Twitter and internet, as you know, bat 1,000.
Here's what I know for sure. Here's what I can tell you.
So does he take his mom's name as well?
Yes.
What's his name? Hines Allen?
Allen? I think his name is Juan Jose Soto Pacheco.
Okay.
I mean, that's what it says on Wikipedia.
That may be the case. I can guarantee you, though, because I do remember this answer, the answer on what his nickname is Pacheco. So maybe Pete got it wrong or I misheard why they call him Pacheco. Okay. But his nickname is Pacheco, which Tiki's already informed me I'm not allowed to use. Okay? We're not allowed to use that. We don't know him. Now, maybe someday I'll know Juan.
Yep.
And I'll say, by the way, could I call you Pacheco?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you another little story about nicknames. When Francisco Lindor had his press conference, and I don't know if it was the trade or the contract, he made it clear he does not like to be called Frankie. And his answer was, my name is Francisco. And so from that moment on, I will never
say. Were people calling him Frankie?
I think in general, people like to make nicknames for athletes that we don't know. We're just like, yeah, come on, Frankie. Yeah, but he doesn't like that.
That doesn't even sound like him.
Well, clearly it doesn't. He doesn't like it.
You know why? Because I feel like it neuters his ethnicity.
That's interesting. Maybe that's why he doesn't like it.
I'm thinking that's probably why he doesn't like
it. Yeah, so advice for Met fans. If you like Francisco Lindor, which everyone does, don't call him Frankie.
Right.
He doesn't want you to.
I have a little baseball note for you, BT. Be curious to get your thoughts on this.
Okay.
So the Athletic ran an anonymous MLB player poll asking pitchers who would be the hitter that they would least like to face in Game 7 of the World Series.
Mm-hmm. I think Soto probably won the poll.
That would be correct.
Let's just make sure he gets back there.
That would be correct.
He already got there with us.
So Juan Soto was...
I love how you find
that. Yeah, it just came across my feed by accident. Juan Soto was named as the hitter pitchers would least like to face in Game 7 of the World Series. There's four quotes that they have. I'm not going to read them all because some of them are long. Talk about his discipline, his ability to have power to all fields, all those things. One player, quote, it's ridiculous. If there's a moment where he can turn it on, he's just able to do it. It's crazy. Another, he has amazing control of the strike zone. He's probably not going to chase. He's also insane power to all fields. He's such a tough out.
I agree.
Juan Soto.
Did you need the poll for validation? You got him.
Well, I mean,
he started to look like Juan Soto.
I mean, it's one thing if I say it or you say it. Another thing to hear pitchers say they don't want any part.
How fast was my answer? Fast. I knew that would be the answer, and I have not seen that. Did they give you the other, like, second, third, and fourth? But just out of curiosity.
No.
And I'm going to be Judge because Judge hasn't done it.
They might have in the article. It still has to be Judge. I know he hasn't done it, but still.
I don't know. I mean, they didn't have Judge one.
You know, and I'm thinking last night to myself, why do these idiots still pitch to Judge when Judge hits a two-run homer in the first inning?
He's the best.
And then they go and get him the next at bat. You know, he's swinging at pitches, breaking balls in the strikes, the strike zone. Yep. And then I was also thinking it further. Here's the reason why you do pitch to him, I guess, is that he's going to fail 6 of the 10 times. It sounds ridiculous saying that. Yeah, right? Yeah. But he's a 400 hitter. He's going to fail 6 of the 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you take your chances. But still, I would not do that. Anyway, I don't have the full article. What I have is SNY Mets Twitter tweeted this out. So they picked from that article in The Athletic saying that Soto was number one. I'd be curious to see who is two and three.
I think it's fair. Honestly, I think it's fair. I mean, if you were to say, maybe not right now, he's getting a little bit older, although I'd probably still vote for him. Like if you asked NBA players two, three, 4 years ago, you know, clock ticking down, one jump shot at the horn, everybody's saying Steph, even though Steph had some NBA finals where he wasn't amazing. Iguodala won the first MVP. Mm-hmm. But there's just certain things that strike me very quickly that seems like a pretty easy answer. And watching Soto's process and watching him in the World Series, not to mention the Guardians, et cetera, not to mention the Nationals against the Guardians, the Nationals as a kid. To me, that's the only answer right now.
Yeah,
it really is.
Those are the reasons why. Because you and I have had the debate, you know, I love him as a player, but you could say, well, define player. He's not around and all that stuff. I have no issues with him on the bases. I have no issues with him in the outfield. And the reason why I love him more than anybody, while also acknowledging like he's not as well-rounded as, say, Aaron Judge or whatever, pick a player. Judge happens to be the best player in the world that we've ever seen. But still, Soto would be the one guy that I want on my team more than anybody, including Judge, because of exactly that. If there's one at bat in the postseason, doesn't have to be game seven, could be game two, could be game three, I want Soto up. And what he's been able to do now with Lindor and with Alonso, hey, I think the Mets are, man, they're dangerous. I'm getting some 86 vibes.
All right, well, okay, I saw that tweet last, the 86 vibes. Yeah, 86?
86.
You were 5 years old when they were in 86.
I watched you to remember quite a bit. And then they show all those highlights. And it just, that's, like, I felt last night, all right, no biggie, to use Loogie's word. No biggie. They're down 4-2. You just felt like they're going to come back. And then it gets to the point where the big bats come up. Marte works a great at bat. Soto comes through. Alonso yet again. It's like clockwork.
No, listen.
The pitching as well.
Yeah, the pitching was phenomenal. We talked about that. Matter of fact, I was going to send you the screenshot. I said I'll just bring it up at some point on the air. I said earlier during the Yankee ticket giveaway where the stat that I came across for the Yankees have the highest OPS in all the baseball, and the Mets have the best team ERA in all the baseball.
Unbelievable.
Think about that. I mean, our two teams, one hits the hell out of it. Oh, yeah, by the way, pitches pretty well in addition to that. The other team has the best ERA, and oh, yeah, hits a lot, too. I mean, we are lucky right now with both of these teams.
And think about this. Coming into the year, it was supposed to be the opposite.
Yeah.
The Yankees were supposed to be the lights-out pitching team. The Mets were supposed to be the better offensive
team. But that's why I was much more okay, even though I wanted them. I'm never going to front on that. But that's why once Soto left, I'm like, okay, this could make them more circular. And you look, I mean, I remember looking last year, like OPS 620, 590, you know, 609. You look, and I know it's still early. Things could change a little bit, but they could also change more favorably, although I don't think Judge could hit 400. Other guys could keep, Wells could get red hot.
Yeah.
Opie's starting to get hot. Bellinger's been hot. Those OPSs are pretty damn good across. Even Wells now is up to like 790.
Bottom line, and I saw something with him, projected numbers was like 30 and 100. Which, well, the only catchers that did
really?
That. Yeah.
100 RBIs?
I'm pretty sure it was Jack Curry.
That seems high. Well, Jack's usually money,
I'm pretty sure it was him. 30? I saw it last night.
What's he got, 12 now, Sal? How many home runs? 12? Was that 12 or 13?
I think 13, but I'm not 100% sure on that. Just get me to 17, baby. That's or 18, actually.
I
know.
Oh, I found all my over-unders, by the way. We have to do that in the next couple days here.
Here we go. It was Jack Curry last night. Wells is on pace for 27 homers and 102 RBI.
27 and 102. I mean, I told you 2 years ago, I loved him. Yeah, I told you that.
I know. I was shocked you didn't take that over-under off the board. Wells on, is Jack Curry of Yes on his social media. On pace for 27 homers, 102 RBIs. The only Yankee catchers to ever amass those numbers in a season.
Let me guess. Well, maybe Nelson Howard. Are we going back Yogi? Or are we going?
There were two.
Okay. Let's see. Obviously, Posada, Munson. Hang on a second. I don't think Munson had that many RBIs. I could be wrong. I don't think it's Munson, is it?
Now, wait. The only Yankee catchers to ever amass those numbers in a season were Berra, who did it four times.
Yogi? Nelson Howard?
And Dickey.
Oh, okay. Bill Dickey.
Who did it twice. Posada had 30 and 101 in 2003.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that's, and also Wells hasn't even really had his impact felt yet.
No, he's been chugging along. He hasn't really had a prolonged stretch where he's been raking, so I love to always have.
BT and Sal on the Fan, back to the next calls. Rocky's in Randolph, New Jersey. What's up, Rocky?
Rock.
BT and Sal, my boys, how we doing?
Hi, Rocky.
Rocky.
Hey, I got a little remedy for us with this Knicks over here. We got Surfsides at Snooki's. I told Hop. You down for that, Sally boy?
Yes, I'm in. Let's go.
Okay, let's do it. Now, listen, BT, I love you, man. I'm normally on board with, like, everything you say.
Okay.
But, you know, I tweeted it out as soon as it happened. But I agree with that. Listen, tell me this, though, BT. Here's the thing. Now, I can agree with you schematically that Tibbs wasn't the right guy for the job, okay? Mm-hmm. Offense, stagnant, whatever, okay? Mm-hmm. But let's go back to last year. Last year, with that team, Randall, Dante, our boys, you know, Hartenstein, you were saying that you really felt that the Knicks had a chance to win the title. They can mess around and get to the title.
So, in my opinion,
yep. Okay, so what happened? Did Tibbs automatically just forget to coach?
No.
But he brought two, but now two new players came in and disturbed the apple cart.
Yeah.
Now, so to me, at last point with Leon and Dolan, though, if Leon made this decision, it couldn't have been, because you're saying how powerful of a guy Leon. I agree with that. You think that he's going to sit there and take this criticism and say, hey, listen, I'm done with Tibbs. I don't care. Well, okay, Dolan told me to be done with him. I don't care, Jim. Okay, fine. I'm going to follow what you say. Now that falls on Leon. So if Leon doesn't correct it, it's all him. So I really don't think that Dolan came in heavy-handed. I think that something happened with Tibbs and Leon because of the two new players, and it destroyed everything.
Well, listen, you could be right. And that's why I'm not saying that I'm right. That's just how it feels right now. All I could do is react to what we know. And then and we don't know a whole lot right now, so it makes it obviously very dangerous as we try to piece things together. And then you just got to, you know, take a little news item here and people you trust there and a text message conversation here and piece it all together and see where we are. That could change violently one way or the other in a week, in a day, in a month. I don't know. I mean, Leon Rose in 2 days could quit. In 2 days, Leon Rose can, you know, execute a trade with Dallas for Jason Kidd. That was his primary move, and now he's loaded again. I really don't know how it's going to go, but right now I'm confused because it doesn't seem like they have a direction.
Best case scenario is Dolan had nothing to do with this decision. Leon Rose had a plan of a few possible candidates,
mm-hmm.
acknowledging that he could be turned down, whether it be Finch, Udoka, or Kidd.
Yep.
But he has a small
circle of targets.
It can't be running through, check them off. Check them. Like, you can't be going through 15 freaking guys here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a specific job that you need to win an NBA title. It can't just be endless candidates. You have to have an idea of where you're going. Best case is Leon Rose has a small circle of candidates, and he's finding out how he's going to get to whichever ones, just by trying to interview, whatever it may be. Worst case is this is Dolan.
Mm-hmm. And now he's just kind of running around trying
scrambling,
to piece it together. Yeah.
And eventually it's going to get to a point where he doesn't want to do it anymore, meaning Leon Rose, and that sets that. Now, again, we don't know which one it is, but even the best case is not great, in my opinion. Because they screwed up by firing Tibbs and not showing a clear direction for the one guy that they would want. Or even if it were one or two, it's more than that already.
I mean, I think there can maybe be something in between those two options, maybe. But
fair enough.
I think you pretty much nailed it. Yeah. I mean, it's only a couple things, and right now none of them seem really good.
The more I looked into some of the numbers behind it, the more I believe that this is sustainable, because the only thing that's different, as a matter of fact, he's had better power years. To date, his first year, his rookie season in 2019, he had 21 home runs on June 8th. He's got 17 now, whatever it is. So he's had better power numbers. He's been a run producer to a high level with the Ribbies before. The OPS, all that stuff is similar to where he's been at his peaks throughout the course of his career. The average, that's the only thing. And it's a major difference, but you're talking about a 30-point difference, roughly 30-point difference in his batting average from what his career high has usually been. I think it's more stark because of where he was the last 2 years.
Yep.
But I do believe that this is sustainable for Pete Alonso.
So do I. Let me first say I'm happy for Pete. I'm sincerely happy for Pete Alonso. Now, the numbers are what they are, although I don't know if everybody realizes how good they ultimately could be when you project this out. You know, right now, Pete's on pace for 150 RBIs. Well, again, is he going to get there? Not the point, just where he is now. 100-plus runs, 49 doubles, and he had a big double over the weekend against the Rockies, obviously.
among many big moments. 42 bombs, and he's hitting 301, which I don't think he'll be 300. But the point is,
how many homers? 49. You said
he's on pace for 42 home runs, 150 ribbies. Yeah,
you know Judge Ribbies right now off the top of your head?
I don't. Me either. I don't. We'll get on top of that.
I'm just curious because like that's the measuring stick.
Oh, where he projects with Judge right now?
Just where Judge is current. Judge has 55, and Alonso leads the league. What? How many has he got?
I just looked
61.
At
61. He's got 61.
He's got 61?
Yeah. Leads the big league. That's what I'm saying, dude. Like,
I didn't even realize it was that high. Wow. It's a great story.
Yeah.
That's why I started it that way, saying I'm happy for Pete. It's a great story. You know, I remember when we were going through this contract stuff with Pete, and you know, I stood where I stood, and you and I pretty much stood in unison. Like, and just because he's having an amazing season doesn't mean he's going to get an 8-year contract. That's never going to happen, though. That's a different conversation.
Right.
What kind of contract he could or might get. I really found it amazing that for a franchise that has so desperately searched for a homegrown star, whether he's truly a superstar or was or not, it's not even really the point. But it seemed like the Mets were looking for reasons to get rid of him rather than to keep him. And I know he had a cluttered mind a year ago, chasing that contract and dealing with the Boris stuff. And yeah, got his head. And he did not have a good season, which represented two very down seasons from an average perspective. Not that baseball players are defined by average anymore, but it was a bad look when there's that great of a fall. You know, you go from 260, 265, all of a sudden you're hitting 212, 215, 220. What's going on? I'm happy for him. He looks terrific. I said before the year I thought he was going to be top three in the MVP. And I believe he's absolutely going to remain there. He is having an awesome season.
I could not be more wrong about what Alonso is going to do this year, and I'm happy that that is the case. I was going based off the last 2 years thinking, like, what gives me reason why he's going to all of a sudden bounce back, and he's looked better than ever. But the one thing that we knew was that the power is there. Like, nobody would ever dispute his power prowess, his home run prowess, right? Or even driving in runs. But last year, where you have a year where you're 34 home runs, and we're referencing it as a bad year, and I really think it was a bad year for him.
It was.
This proves it. He's got 61 ribbies. He had 88 all of last year. So think about how bad that is in comparison to where he's at this year. Yeah, dude.
Oh, my goodness.
He had 88 RBI. Yeah, he goes, no, he's got 61. I know, it's early June, for goodness sake.
That's the context that really made me say, wow. I mean, I knew he had the 88, but he's 61 already. It's not even June 15th.
All right, so he's had years before 53 and 120, 37, 94, 40, 131, 46, 118. He's had monster years power-wise. Even his best batting average year, 271, he had 262, 260, so that's where he usually sat. That, to me, is the only difference here, being a 300 hitter this year. I don't know if that's sustainable, but if he hits 280 and puts up the power numbers that he's putting up, that's going to be more than fine. So then I just ask you, the one difference from the last couple of years to this year is what? The obvious difference.
Well, I mean, obviously Soto in front of him.
Yeah, okay, so how much... Like, is that what's happening here? Is this just about... It's not just about Soto.
No, because that's unfair to Pete.
Correct.
Now, it's a great byproduct of Juan Soto's presence, who's obviously starting to heat up and on base all the time now. So, he's got 61 RBIs. What would he have if Juan Soto started red hot? But, I mean, would we have 70 at this point?
Okay, but then what about the batting average? Is it... I guess my question is, and, you know, maybe pitchers are pitching him a little bit differently or a little more carefully, with Soto in front of him, maybe have to attack him. I don't know the answer, but you'd have to be a fool not to think that it's had some kind of impact on him. I'm not taking away from Pete on his own merit. He's earned this because even when Soto was struggling, Pete was on fire. But, I mean, the guy, he's turned into a 300 hitter all of a sudden. With Juan Soto in front of him, I'd have to think that has some kind of ramification.
It has. Now, I'm not going to even attempt to delineate like where it starts. Okay, well, this is because of Soto, and this is because of that. But I think, and you're not doing this, but I think it's unwise to look at it as all Soto.
Yeah.
Because to me, he changed his approach. And I remember seeing this. By the way, the home run off Devin Williams really may have been not just from an emotional, psychological, you know, uplifting moment for the man and the franchise, and get the weight off his back. I think it reinforced, I gotta hit the right field.
Right.
And when you use all fields, you don't hit 220. Now, I don't think he's going to hit 300. If you said, take a guess right now, where do I think Pete finishes? I would say between 270 and 280. Maybe a little higher. Maybe 275 and 280,
which is
mid-80s.
Which is not nuts, because he's hit 271 before.
As you said, a couple of 260s. Like, again, 300 would represent an unrealistic jump for me at this point. And maybe I'm wrong. But I just think when you got to understand, guy, he's not striking out as much. And the reason he's not striking out as much, it's very simple. when you, I've said this before, I hate saying it because I didn't play, but it's true. When you let the ball travel deep, you're not going to flail and jump at curveballs. When you let the ball travel deep and you trust your hands, you're going to rifle it to right field. And that's what he's doing. And once you do that, now when they come inside, now it's easy city. Now you just throw the barrel and you pull it to left center, which he's also doing.
You still have his projections up?
I wrote them down. Yeah, what's up?
What's the? You have his strikeouts?
He's
on pace for that?
I did. Okay. 150, I think. Hold on. How many times did he strike out last year?
172.
It's definitely lower than that because I just saw it. But
his rookie season, he struck out 183 times.
Okay.
Forget the pandemic year. Then it was 127, 128, 151, 172 a year ago.
Okay. Did I lose?
I mean, if you double it right now, he's around, I'd say, what, I got 140, you. Something like that.
I thought maybe. I saw 150. My computer froze. Yeah, that's why it took me. Sorry about that. All right. So with Pete right now, his projections are... This is annoying me. Okay, projections. You've got, I told you, the 42
home runs.
Yeah. The strikeouts would be 152.
Okay, so that's not that. It's certainly lower than last year.
Yeah.
But it's more than 2021 and 2022,
mm-hmm.
and right on par with 2023.
And he had how many last year? 180-something?
172.
All right, once, so that's 20 difference, if this holds up. That's 20 empty at-bats. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to go 10 for 20, mm-hmm. but you're not going 0 for 20. Right there's a little tap up in the batting average department.
I do think he's walking more, just looking at the math here.
What did he walk last year?
70 times. He's at 33 right now.
He's on pace for 81 walks this year. Yeah, so slight upticks in walks and slight decrease in whiffs. That's good.
70 last year, 65 the year before, 67, 60 the year before that. The highest walk total he had was his rookie season with 72. So
wow, this would represent +9 ever for his career. Now, to me, that's the Soto effect.
Yeah, okay.
Much more attributable than Pete going to right field or some of the other things that are partially attributable to Juan, much like Soto with Judge a year ago to an extent. It's just a good New York baseball story. He's always been a little goofy, but he's always been a good guy, and he's always been a good player. And Met fans are eating this up, and they should. He looked awesome so far. I'm happy for him.
I will say there's two angles that I want to go here, and not that you want to blow it all at once, but we might as well. Hoff was talking about this before the show.
Mm-hmm.
There is a feel now, at least from me, as a Met fan, and even somebody who's unbiased, just broadcasting about this stuff, I don't see any way, if Pete continues to play like this, there's no way the Mets can let him walk. Like, they can't do it. Now, overpaying him is a different story than what the market says.
Yeah.
I'd be very curious to see what the market says Pete is off of this year. Did they radically change their thinking? Like, hey, this is what he's going to be, a 280, whatever. You want to say 300, fine. Just massive run producer moving forward. He's unlocked something. He's figured it out. Or are they saying, okay, well, this is a big year, but he's still getting older. You know, big bodied, whatever you want to say. First baseman that's maybe not going to age particularly.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. But whatever the market says he is,
yep.
I think the Mets are going to have to pay at least that, maybe a little bit more, to keep him here. Dude, there will be I don't care if you got Soto or not. The fans will go nuts.
Wait till he passes Darryl. What does he have, 12 more to go? Whatever, right. Did I just pass David Wright over
he's
the weekend?
He's got 10 more to go.
He's got, that's right, 9. And then 10, 9 to tie, 10 to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you're not passing Barry Bonds or Hank Aaron. I understand, but it matters. There's something there that you can't quantify necessarily, but no, there would be an outcry if he's on a different team next year.
It happened last year.
Yeah, well.
It was about to. And it was. It was 2 years in a row.
It was, but I felt like last year there was an awakening. There was a changing of how the Met fan processed Pete's future. And I think that before last year, now it changed a little bit with the Williams home run and then a couple of more against the Phillies. I get that. But I think last year there was a growing percentage of Met fans who looked at him as a decaying asset. And all the things that you were about to say, you know, on the wrong side of 30, right-handed first baseman, right-handed batter, slow-footed, not a body that probably projects very well in terms of bounce or sustainability. But I think that changes to an extent, but I don't think it fundamentally changes how Stearns views him long-term. Not to throw cold water on the season.
Right.
I think that there might be, it'll be an easier negotiation, but it's not going to go from what they offered to 8 years. Like, that's not going to happen.
Right, I still think you're talking max 5 years.
In the neighborhood?
Yeah.
It's just not going to change a ton, but it will change something.
Then the other part of it, What we are watching with the Mets right now with Lindor, Soto, and Alonso is they are, when all said and done, going to be the three best position players in the history of the franchise. Alonso's homegrown and is going to have all the numbers. Lindor is going to go to the Hall of Fame, and he's going to be here for an extended period of that Hall of Fame career. And the same thing about Juan Soto. Now, I mean, people are going to speculate about Soto, but even if he gives you 5 to 7 years. Like, think about it. Now, it's not saying that these guys are that great, although they are. It's also speaking volumes to where the Mets franchise, like, name the best players in the history of the Mets franchise.
Piazza, David Wright, Eddie Kraepel. You got to give love to Eddie with all those hits early on. Enough, sure. Strawman.
But those guys.
Mazzillion when he was young, when he first got there. I hear you.
These three.
Cleon.
So not only are you seeing what I believe are going to be the three best position players, and I love Mike Piazza more than anybody, but when it's all said and done, these guys are going to surpass him with that. I love David Wright as well. These guys are going to surpass him. Carlos Beltran going to surpass him. Darryl Strawberry going to surpass him. Not only do you have three individuals who could be the greatest, because I was saying this a few years ago about Alonso before any of the, you know, before he had some bad years, any of the clubhouse stuff that we were talking about, like he was projecting to be the greatest Met of all time. There was no doubt about it. Position player I'm talking about. Obviously, we know about Seaver. And now you pair him with Lindor and what he's been doing, and you pair him with Soto, you have three individuals that each on their own could be looked at as the best position player in Mets history, and now they have them all together at once. This is something that the Mets franchise has never seen.
Well, I mean, obviously, yeah, that's a unique way of looking at it. I didn't know you were going there. I appreciate the historical element, too. It's cool. I'm just trying to do this fast
right, well,
in my
think
mind.
About it.
Well, I'm going to do it. So forget about 69 and 73. You know, we know the names. We didn't see them. Okay. You go to 86, and right away, you had two platoon situations. You had Lenny and Mookie in center, and you had Wally and Tim Tuffle at second. So right away, like, and then obviously Keith was phenomenal.
Well, even just take the best
Gary,
individuals.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm saying sequentially, 1, 2, 3, that 86 Mets team, which is the most powerful Mets team that I've ever seen, is one of the best teams I've ever seen, period. They were rolling out two platoon guys to start.
Right.
And then it started getting, like, you know, again, with Keith and Darryl and Gary, et cetera. But, you know, I hadn't looked at it like with a Lindor.
Well, think about it this way too, BT, right? Take those three individuals.
Soto, Pete.
Who were the three best individual players on the 86 team? You're going to go Keith, Gary, and Straw.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
Straw, we know what happened with him.
Well,
and now I'm talking about from a Mets perspective.
I got you. Forget about the other stuff. You have to.
Gary Carter, while he's a great Met and a lot of people want to retire his number, these guys are going to surpass what he did.
He was a diminished. He was big. Yeah, he was not in his absolute prime when they got him in 85.
Look at the numbers.
I know.
He doesn't even come up when we say.
He was a better Expo than Met, period.
100%.
Yep.
And Keith Hernandez, same thing. Like, while his number is retired, and he was no doubt a great Met, he's not going to. When we talk about the greatest position players of all time for at least an extended period, it's Piazza, Strawberry, Beltran, right? At least in my mind.
Yeah.
And I think all three of these guys individually will surpass each one of those guys individually, and now you're talking about the three of them together.
It's not nuts. It's a little early, only because, you know.
Well, Soto for sure.
Well, that's what I was saying. You know, Soto's first year, and he's obviously heating up here. If Pete regresses, which I don't think he will, I think he's going to finish top three in the MVP.
And even if he doesn't, he's going to have the home run record.
He's going to have the home run record. And Lindor at this point is, it's fairly undeniable, Lindor's place in Mets lore. Took him a while to get there, which is all I was complaining about. And by the way, just quick props to him. Coming off the bench with the broken toe.
Beast.
And first of all, he's stealing bases, but pinch hitting a bit. Like,
I mean, come on.
It's rounding into form nicely for the Mets. And even aside from the best position players and the other things we've hit here, you've got a couple of arms coming back.
Yep.
And, you know, number one. And number two, and Mauricio showing signs. I think they're going to make a trade. Because I think that they know that they're right there. And when you get to 5, 6, even though McNeil's hot now, whatever, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I need one more sure thing. If they can, whether it's Duran from the Red Sox, I heard that over the like, if they
center
make.
Center fielder would be preferable.
Dude, if they make one big power move, the lineup, then I can really say this team could win the World Series.
So that's.
Still can't say it yet with the lineup.
That's kind of why I brought it up, is because I just want to bring up the idea. Like, I don't really care about greatest Met position player or the records necessarily, but it just shows you where Mets baseball's at. I really firmly believe that this is the beginning, if not in the midst of the greatest run that we're going to see in the history of the Mets franchise. Yes, some of that is projecting forward.
It's a big statement, buddy.
Well, Is it, though?
Well, it's not, and it is.
I mean,
because you're projected a ton, but you're also incorporating a lot of years of failure. Well, so I know what you mean.
How many times have we referenced the fact that, you know, they've only made the postseason in consecutive years twice in their history?
Yep.
So they're going to do that this year. So check the box there where, you know, playoffs a year ago, playoffs this year, okay, check. And then next year is going to be the first time you hope they make it 3 years in a row. But we're only getting going here with Soto. Lindor's in the prime of his career, and I'm assuming Alonso's going to sign for at least a few more years. If you add all that up, that's where you get, to me, the best players, position players in the franchise history, plus the resources that the owners put in, plus the success that they're having as a team with the pitching, as you mentioned. Like, the Mets right now, it's early, it's June.
No, the Mets are good. It's a fair read, dude. I don't even know if I just gave enough credit where I said the Mets could, this is the first time I thought the Mets could win the World Series, or, you know, get there and win. And I kind of ended that with, but they got to make what trade? That's almost still sellable. Like, even if they don't make a trade, I'd have to, you know, objectively look, as I have, look at this team and say, I'm not seeing a lot of teams better in the NL. And I know what the records are.
Right.
And they're getting healthier. Mets look really good right now. Mets are humming right now.
Dude.
No doubt.
And it feels great.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.